Well, good afternoon, everyone. Well, I wanted to just jump right into the Bible today and turn back to Mark chapter 6, if you would. Mark chapter 6. This is very squarely in the core part of Jesus Christ's public ministry on the earth. And I wanted to call out something special that Jesus Christ did and the example that's written for us today in Mark. I'd like to go to Mark chapter 6, and we'll pick it up in verse 30. I'll give you a second to turn there. Mark 6. Starting in verse 30, it says, "Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught." Now, we don't have time here to kind of revisit the whole context behind this chapter, but early on in chapter 6, Jesus Christ, he sends out his disciples two by two, and they go out and they preach repentance. And so here in verse 30 and a bit later, Jesus Christ is getting a recap of how it went. Verse 31, "And he said to them, 'Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat.'" Verse 32, "So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves." Now I can imagine during this period of time in Christ's ministry that it would have been close to impossible to have any sort of downtime. There were throngs of people that were constantly seeking out Jesus, be it for his wisdom or his teachings, maybe just to catch something noteworthy or interesting that they could pass on. We're not going to go there, but you'll remember the story of someone breaking in through the roof of a house so that they could get to Jesus. And I imagine that it would have been both a thrilling time to be around Christ, but also a really tiring and stressful time as well. And here in Mark chapter 6, this is no different. Verse 33, it continued on. It says, "But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, he saw a great multitude," and get this here, "he was moved with compassion for them." Moved with compassion, "because they were like a sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things." Jesus Christ is amazing. I think that goes without saying, but we should say it a lot. I try to put myself in his position every now and then, and I think after a long day of work, and I just sit in front of a computer, but after a long day of work, I just want to sit by myself. I want to read a book. I don't want to go out and engage. I just want to kind of be left alone. I can't imagine being constantly called upon, constantly being challenged, constantly people demanding your time, et cetera, and still having the wherewithal to respond positively. And here, though, Jesus Christ looks out over this great multitude, and he was moved with compassion. And it's not just here either. Let's drop down a few chapters. We're going to see this unfold again. Mark chapter 8 this time. Mark chapter 8. We'll start in verse 1. It says, "In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, 'I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some have come from afar.'" Well, there it is again, this compassion for others. There are a couple of Greek words that are translated into our English word compassion, but the one here used in these two examples is only used by Jesus Christ, and it's only used in these gospel accounts. It's used in a total of 12 different verses, and the meaning of this word is to feel sympathy, to have pity, to have or be moved with compassion, as you would expect. But it also means, and get this, it means to have the bowels yearn. Like, what does that even mean? That is kind of an awkward saying there, to have the bowels yearn. But I think it kind of illustrates that this wasn't just a surface or a fleeting type of emotion, but rather one that resonates into your core being. In other words, it's an emotion that strikes down to your very soul. And when Jesus Christ looked out over the people that were coming to him, he didn't feel bad that they forgot to pack lunch or something like that. but rather he was stirred deeply at their very state of being, that they seemed like a sheep without a shepherd, and that they were spiritually lost and seeking. There was a book that was put out in 2019 by Dr. Stephen Tretiak and Dr. Anthony Mazzarelli, and it was called Compassionomics. And the book was created by these two doctors that tried to test how important compassion is within the medical field. And I think everyone could say that doctors would think that that's a pretty important trait to have. And a lot of people do go into the medical field because they have this feeling of compassion. But they wanted to see if you could actually test that. Does having compassion make a measurable statistical outcome on patients? And the answer is no. I'm just kidding. I don't think I'd bring it out like that, right? No, they found that it certainly did. The hard part, though, for them was devising the tests and the experiments where they could measure the outcomes. The author said this, quote, "The hypothesis is compassion matters, and we don't mean compassion matters in a moral or an ethical or a sentimental sense. We wanted to test the hypothesis that compassion matters in measurable ways for patients and those who care for patients." And what did they find? Continued on this quote. It says, "There were many broad categories by which compassion for patients can be beneficial. The first is physiological. Compassion for patients can actually modulate a patient's perception of pain. It can have immune system effects. There are also endocrine effects, which means in patients with diabetes, there's evidence that they have better blood glucose control and fewer complications when they are treated with compassion on a regular basis. It also had broad psychological effects. Compassion for patients can reduce symptoms of depression, reduce symptoms of anxiety, and reduce emotional distress associated with some illnesses like cancer." And one of the tests that they did, they took two groups of people, they divided them in half. One was the control group, and they had just a regular meeting with their doctor. It was just a normal visit. And the other group, they separated, and they gave them to doctors that had been specifically trained in compassionate techniques. They asked follow-up questions. They engaged conversations. They did a type of gentle touch. There's a checklist of things they were trained on. And then they took them out, and they gave them a painful stimulus and showed them the picture of the doctor that just treated them. And they found that people that were treated with compassionate doctors reported less pain. But they didn't take their word for it. They put them in an fMRI machine, and they actually measured brain activity. And the compassionate group measured 47% less brain activity in their pain receptors after being treated by a compassionate doctor. Just a little bit of compassion had big returns. And the studies demonstrated that you only needed 40 seconds of compassion from a doctor to make a statistical difference in the patient's overall outcome. Do you think that Jesus Christ was onto something when he gave us these examples to learn from? In Luke chapter 10, you can turn back there, Jesus Christ is confronted by a lawyer, and he asks, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, we know you have to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, your mind, of course. But also something is needed in how you interact with your neighbor. Jesus Christ goes on to give the parable of the Good Samaritan. I think we know the story, but let's come at it from this perspective. Picking up in verse 30 in Luke chapter 10, it says, "Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down to Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead." Let's drop down to verse 33. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal. He brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day when he departed, he took 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him. Whatever more you spend, I'll make it right when I come back.' So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." And Jesus Christ said to him, "Go and do likewise." Now, obviously, compassion by the Samaritan saved this fictional man's life in this parable. He reaped very clear benefits. But if this was a true, literal example that took place, there would have been something else that happened behind the scenes. The Samaritan himself would have reaped the benefits from his own compassion. One of the most startling observations that the authors of the book I mentioned earlier discovered that doctors that proactively practice compassionate care experienced a wide range of unexpected benefits to themselves. And one of the biggest being reported lower amounts of burnout. The effects of this was so pronounced that the two authors, they reach heads of big medical systems in New Jersey, they changed their entire system of recruitment and training of their own doctors to incorporate these compassionate characteristics. And they didn't do it just for the patient's benefit, they did it for the hospital's benefit. It lowered turnover, it reduced waste, it increased physician engagement, and it even contributed to a better fiscal performance of the entire hospital system. Just 40 seconds of compassion and results can be seen. It's truly an amazing thing. Well, in conclusion, it's always interesting to me when I hear arguments about how old and how dated the Bible is, that it just doesn't make sense in our modern world anymore, how it doesn't hold up. But in so many, many, many ways, our Bible is so extremely progressive and forward-thinking that it far exceeds what we have today. And in all too many instances, a principle that is in the Bible or that Jesus Christ taught us is shown to be exactly spot on. Now, in this modern world, we finally have the tools to measure it and quantify what Jesus Christ already told us 2,000 years ago. We have quantifiable, scientifically rigorous, peer-reviewed studies that show that having compassion changes lives. It changes lives of those around you, and it even helps to change your own life in the process. In a hospital or a clinic, just 40 seconds of compassionate outcome changes a patient's diagnosis. But 40 seconds is nothing. Imagine what someone could do if they were filled with the Holy Spirit and incorporated compassion into their very being. I bet some remarkable things could happen indeed. Well, let's form up our own study. Let's write our own book as we test out how we grow compassion to us and those around us.